Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of In Accord. The reality of a new calendar year is beginning to sink in, but I have to admit that it's hard to believe not only that we have begun a new year, but that it is our 15th year since COGWA began on December 23rd, 2010. We're still tallying up our finances from 2024. As a church, we're required to credit any donations made before midnight on December 31st as part of our income from 2024. Even if we don't receive those funds until well into January. What I can tell you at this time, though, is that we have set new records for income and in responses to our literature. We should have the actual numbers within the next week or 10 days. One example that we already have is the increase from our personal correspondence department. In 2023, we responded to 11,415 requests or questions. That averaged about 30 per day. But in 2024, we responded to 34,941 requests and questions. That averages to about 100 per day. That is an amazing 200% increase in 1 year. Now, let me comment on some news items. Much of the U.S. is in the midst of a winter storm warning. I'm recording this on Friday, January the 10th. Here in Dallas, we received anywhere from 4 to 8 inches of snow, with some ice and freezing rain mixed in. Yesterday, January the 9th, we closed the office and had everyone work from home. And today, January the 10th, with additional snow last night, we also decided to close the office. I'm here with just a skeleton crew recording this program. It appears as though the storm is over and the weather is improving, but the roads and overpasses are still quite treacherous. I know that many of you are having a much worse time of it than those of us in Dallas. While any snowfall is unusual and not handled well here in North Texas, this was a bit above average. Now, there's another major news item here in the United States is the horrendous fires occurring in Southern California. The headline in the Wall Street Journal yesterday, Thursday, January the 9th, read, 5 dead, 130,000 ordered to flee, and 2,000 buildings burned. Well, we're still waiting to hear from all the brethren, but it appears that most have been spared. Just today, an update was sent out from our pastor, Paul Carter. He reports that at this point, and keep in mind, this isn't over, that he has no knowledge of any COGWA members suffering loss. Now, some have been forced to evacuate, but so far their properties have been spared. Of course, in Southern California, there are numerous Church of God groups. And from what I have read, there are several who have suffered the complete loss of their homes. We certainly pray for all those who suffered such a loss, but especially those we know among the brethren. The death toll is low at this point, but there are many people still missing. Any loss of life is terrible news. We pray for all those who are suffering, but especially for the brethren. Now, add on to this news, the terrorist attack that occurred in New Orleans, where 15 people died, including the terrorist himself. All of this should warn us that there is no safe place in the world today. So wherever you are, please pray for God's protection. Now, last week on In Accord, David Johnson updated you on the Winter Family Weekend in Louisville, Kentucky. While we've seen excellent crowds down through the years, I believe this year was one of our largest groups with approximately 1,200 in attendance. Each year, the WFW is our most attended church activity outside of the Feast of Tabernacles. And this past year, our largest feast site did not reach 1,200 in attendance. Now, this year, my wife and I were unable to attend the weekend since we were traveling internationally. We spent approximately 10 days in the Philippines and then a few personal days in London. We were in the Philippines to teach leadership classes for the ministry and for the International Leadership Program participants. We returned home from the Philippines the week of December 25th and then flew to London the next week of January 1st to be with our youngest daughter, her husband, and their 3 children, celebrating their wedding anniversary. We spent the evening of December 31st, which is the date of their anniversary, in Trafalgar Square in London, along with 100,000 other people. It was a remarkable day. Now, for the remainder of this program, I want to focus on our trip to the Philippines. We flew from Dallas directly to Tokyo on December 15th, along with Doug and Tanya Horchak. It was a 15-hour nonstop flight. And from Tokyo, we flew 5 hours, arriving in Manila around 10 p.m. on Monday night, December 16th. We met up with David and Dory Baker at our hotel in Manila. And on Tuesday, we flew from Manila to Davao, where we had arranged to visit two members in prison. Now, you may remember the case of Jed C. and her brother Jesse. They were both convicted of drug trafficking and sentenced to life in prison back in 2005. At one time in the past, they were members of the Worldwide Church of God and then later the United Church of God congregations in Davao. Both Jed and her brother were innocent, but because of the political situation, they were convicted without any evidence. It turns out that Jed's husband was involved in manufacturing drugs in a warehouse that was owned by Jed. Her husband, Alan, was a Chinese national, and he and his gang were making drugs in the back of the warehouse, which ostensibly was for the storage and delivery of snack foods throughout the city of Davao. Now, I followed the trial in the newspapers back in 2005. The prosecutor admitted that they had no evidence connecting either Jed or her brother with any crime, but they were still convicted. Now, after more than 20 years in prison, they're about to be released. This came about through an investigation of their case in the Filipino Congress as a result of corruption allegations against the former Filipino president, Duterte, that also involved Jed's husband, Alan, who's not been seen since the police raided the warehouse on New Year's Eve in 2004. He is presumed dead. The Filipino Congress flew Jed to Manila from Davao to testify in their investigation. They assured her and her brother that they would be released soon. Now, we spent 2 hours visiting with Jed. She is very upbeat and optimistic that she will be a free woman very soon after 20 years of incarceration. After visiting with Jed at the women's prison, we drove a short distance to another prison where we visited with her brother, Jesse. He was also upbeat and positive about their potential release in the next few weeks. Jed C. is a study in courage and conviction. She made such a difference in the women's prison that she became one of the primary trustees. She's able to travel freely among the prison units to assist the other women. She is truly, as some have stated, like a Joseph, as recorded in the Bible. Now, our minister in Davao is Elbert Gargar, and he is in regular contact with Jed and Jesse. He will keep us informed regarding her potential release. Jed and Jesse have been in prison for a very long time. Jed's daughter was 3 years old when she was imprisoned. Sadly, Jed has missed the growing up years of her only daughter, time she can never get back. After a day in Davao, we flew to Manila, where we held classes all day on Thursday, December 18th, and Friday, December 19th. We taught the following classes to the ministry from the Pastoral Development Program over these 2 days. Classes were your relationship with your congregation, the importance of integrity and character in doctrine and Christian leadership, divorce and remarriage issues, importance of marriage and family, technology for today's pastor, leadership development in the modern church, helping Gen Z and the Alphas, the war against truth, and preparing for the tribulation. An amazing outline of classes. In the Philippines, we have 3 Filipino pastors, one assistant pastor, and one soon-to-be hired elder. Let me introduce you to them. Beltran Sison and his wife, Flor Lynn, who live and work in the Visayas region. They live in the city of Bacolod. Beltran replaced Norman Ulagay, who died suddenly a few years ago. The previous pastor to Norman was Florante Chopin, who is now retired but still living in Bacolod. Andre Chopin and his wife, Verlin, who live in the Manila area on the island of Luzon. Andre and Verlin moved from New Zealand when Andre was hired a couple of years ago. Sadly, his father-in-law, Eris Dizon, who was the previous pastor in Luzon, died suddenly of a heart attack this past Pentecost. Andre is the new pastor for Luzon. Paul Sebrin and his wife, Merlin, live north of Davao on the island of Mindanao. Sadly, Paul is suffering from a number of serious health issues, and he is looking to retire probably in the next year or two. For this reason, we hired Elbert Gargar, a Filipino elder who was living in New Zealand, and agreed to work for the church and move back to the Philippines. Elbert and his wife, Flora, are being trained by Mr. Sebrian. There's one more elder in the Philippines, Bernardo Castillon. We are in discussions now to hire Mr. Castillon. On December 31st, he retired as a bank executive in Bacolod. Once hired, he and his wife, Jill, will join the full-time ministry, and he will be trained by Mr. Sison. While not all these men came from the International Leadership Program, all had some training with the ILP. We're very happy to see such good fruit from this program. In many ways, I view the Philippines as an excellent model for the future. We have a great need for ministerial leadership outside the U.S. I have given this stat before, but of the 229 elders we have worldwide, 169 of them live and work in the U.S. We have a total of 60 elders who live and work outside the U.S., and 26 are pastors, which is half the number that we have in the U.S., even though the attendance is approximately the same in the U.S. as it is international. In order to fill in for some areas, we have seen the need to send pastors from the U.S. to care for the brethren until we can bring along leaders from the local congregations. In the Philippines, all the elders are Filipino, and we have two men who are being trained to become future pastors. We are very happy with this situation. Then on the Sabbath of December 21st, we held ILP classes for a larger group of individuals. In addition to the ministry and wives, we now included deacons and others who were recommended for the ILP. ILP classes on the Sabbath and on Sunday were as follows: Pride versus Humility, Tools for Christian Growth, Global Perspective of God's Church, Stresses of Serving in the Ministry, and The Successful Pastor. On Sabbath afternoon, December 21st, we held services for the Manila congregation. We had 81 for the service. This was the largest group I have seen in Manila, even though I have been there several times over the years. We filled the hall and even had to add more chairs to accommodate everyone. It was a wonderful afternoon being with the brethren and fellowshipping with them. And on Monday, we all traveled in different directions. The Bakers and Horchaks traveled to Singapore, and Sharon and I traveled back to the United States. It was a wonderful trip. The focus of all our leadership programs can be found in what Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Well, that will do it from here for now. Next week, Dave Myers will be hosting In Accord. This is the edition that you don't want to miss. He will be announcing the U.S. festival sites for 2025, along with some of the international sites. Now, we won't have them all wrapped up by next week, but he will share what he can with all of you. And I'll be back in a couple of weeks. Until then, have a wonderful, relaxing, and inspiring Sabbath. Goodbye for now.